Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuc. Founded by Lee Ellman and the late Albert Fuller, the Aston Magna Music Festival, now under the musical direction of Daniel Stepner, is America's oldest annual summer festival devoted to music performed on period instruments. Nico Muley is a composer who has written a wide scope of works for ensembles, soloists, and organizations, including the American Ballet Theater, American Symphony Orchestra, Boston Pops, Carnegie Hall, Chicago Symphony, violinist Hilary Hahn, New York City Ballet, New York Philharmonic, Opera Company of Philadelphia, Seattle Symphony, and many others. Muley has also lent his skills as performer, arranger, and conductor to Antony and the Johnsons, Grizzly Bear, Usher, and, all together now, many others. In 2011, Muley's first full-scale opera, Two Boys, was commissioned by the Metropolitan Opera, Lincoln Center Theater, and the English National Opera. Oh, and by the way, he's 32 years old. Now the Aston Magna Festival has commissioned Muley to write a work inspired by the Aston Magna Estate in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. The work will be performed in a program with Italian Trio Sonatas tonight at Brandeis University at 8 p.m., tomorrow at Bard College at 8 p.m., and Saturday at Bard College at Simon's Rock at 6 p.m. Nico Muley and Daniel Stepner join us now. Welcome to the Roundtable.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Daniel, let's begin by having you give us a sort of overview of the mission and history, briefly, of the Aston Magna Music Festival, please.
Aston Magna is now 42 years old, and it began in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, on an estate there called Aston Magna. That's what gave it its name, and that's what Nico's piece is celebrating. It was founded by Albert Fuller, the harpsichordist, and Lee Ellman, who owns the property and is a music lover. He's a businessman, but he's a music lover. And together they started a weekend, several weekends of concerts, which has grown into a five-week series and a bunch of academies and outreach programs and several books and about nine recordings and so on. So it's been a wonderful part of my life. I've been artistic director for 22 years. And I was in on the second season of Aston Magna many years ago as a student. Albert Fuller has died. He's no longer alive. But Lee Ellman is still active and on the board. And it was he who wanted to celebrate his estate, Aston Magna, and wanted Nico Muley to write a piece about it.
And how, Nico, were you approached to compose this piece for the festival?
Lee actually just sort of found me after a concert. I was playing something somewhere, I forgot where, and he just sort of trotted up as soon as I got off stage and said, "Would you be interested in this kind of site specific piece?" And I spent a lot of time as a kid in the Berkshires. I was a student at the Boston University Tanglewood Institute, which is the sort of junior edition of TMC, which essentially just takes a bunch of kids and deposits them on the Tanglewood campus for 2 months in the summer. And that was a huge part of my kind of, growing up and becoming a musician. So I knew the area well and was delighted to hear that there had been this kind of early music festival going on for half a century. And he had me round to the estate, which is this extraordinary piece of land and building and piece of landscaping, and I kind of immediately thought that this would be a fun project.
And how do you then turn architecture and landscape and estate into music? How does the place inspire the notes?
Well, to a certain extent, I quickly disembarrassed myself of the idea that it was going to be too literal.
Mm-hmm.
And instead I wanted to get at the sort of quality of the space and the history of the space. One of the things I've always been interested in about chamber music, particularly sort of instrumental chamber music, is the original rooms in which they would have been performed, these small kind of small rooms in a family home, in a sense. And what's fascinating about Aston Magna, the estate, is that it's a place where music has been made kind of continuously for the last, for a number of decades. And so what you end up with is the idea that a house where musicians live is a place not just of performance, but a place of learning and a place of work and a place of sort of effort. So I knew I wanted to capture all those things. So I sort of divided up the piece into different areas of the house where different things happened. So there's some outdoor space, some indoor space, and the idea is between sort of a sort of wandering, sort of zen-like relaxation and then a slightly more, it should sound like people cooking something, it's a sort of efforted music.
The name Aston Magna comes from a little village in England, which was the favorite vacation spot of a violinist named Albert Spaulding. very well-known violinist in his day in the 20s, 30s, and 1940s. And when he retired, he bought this piece of land in Great Barrington and called it Aston Magna, after his favorite haunt in England. He used to take vacations there between tours in Europe. He was a wonderful violinist. He's left a number of recordings and original compositions. And it was from his estate that Lee Elman, the commissioner, bought the property. So he and Albert Spaulding built a studio on the property for his own practicing. It's really a wonderful little building with high ceilings, nice acoustics. And that's one of the movements of Nico's piece. So it's kind of an evocation of Spaulding, or the ghost of Spaulding practice.
Yeah, exactly. Learning hard passage work.
Daniel, how does a new work like this fit into the early music mission, and how do you build a program around the piece once you have it?
First of all, we like to think of ourselves as an organization which is playing early music but trying to play it as if it were new music, and that's one of the reasons we play period instruments and really prefer the small venues that Nico was referring to. We play in small auditoriums or churches or living rooms, and it's better fit for the music we play. And we play on period instruments, which mean gut strings and lighter bows, and so we're softer than the normal violin and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But as a violinist, I play modern music as well as, on modern violin as well as Baroque music. And my quartet, during the year, we often commission pieces. So this is not that new to me. It fits in because of the nature of Nico's style and his understanding of our instruments. He writes in what some people call minimalist style. I don't really like the name very much because it's slightly demeaning.
Mm-hmm.
But what it means is he hope, Nico, you approve of this. He works with simple materials, plays them against each other in slightly out-of-phase rhythms, much as jazz musicians do or Bach did. And the effect is tonal. It's not atonal or harshly dissonant, but it is developmental in the sense that you hear slow movement because of the permutations and the repetition with variation. And this is very similar to a lot of Baroque music, particularly really good Baroque music like Bach and Vivaldi, and good music of all kinds. I think of jazz all the time, too. That is,
and I should say, I mean, just to sort of jump in, one of the things that's always drawn me to period instruments is that the whole economy of how you make emotional content is different. You know, it existed before this kind of romantic sense of, you know, the instruments as this kind of romantic storyteller, where you know you start at home and go into the woods and fight the dragon and return slightly changed. You know, the way that Baroque music, especially music for I'm thinking of viol concert music, it is, as you say, it's these sort of repetitive structures and these permutations of similar material that slowly change, and this sort of the radiance of it, the emotional radiance, comes from inside the sound rather than from this kind of implied journey. And that, to me, as a composer, is very, very attractive.
Right, and it's very expressive when we say it's not, quote, romantic, unquote. It doesn't mean that it's not extremely expressive. I think of Nico's music as finding the essence of the effective qualities of harmony without hitting us over the head with it, letting us hear it and feel it from different angles.
Well, thank you for that description. That's very generous.
Daniel, you mentioned Vivaldi a moment ago, and that work by Vivaldi is included in this evening of music. What else have you put together in the program with Nico's
piece?
Right.
It's essentially a program of Italian trio sonatas. The form of trio sonata is really not a musical form at all. It's really an experimental instrumental form, and we have seven or eight composers including Nico, on the program. There's Corelli and Stradella and Castello and Marini, and Pernuccio, who is really Couperin, he's really a Frenchman, but he published his first pieces with an Italian acronym of his name because it wasn't right for a Frenchman to write Italian music. And then Vivaldi, which will end the program, his wonderful La Follia variations. For me, it's a wonderful program for a variety of reasons, because you've sensed this hotbed of experimentation that the Italians of the 17th and 18th century are indulging in. And it it reflects, I think, new composition, the sort of which Nico is presenting us with.
Nico, in this last moment we have here, minute or two, I would like you to explain, when you're commissioned, what that process is like, either in specific or in general, how much freedom you get, and if you enjoy working with people who commission you.
Each commission has its own kind of restrictions. I'm a big fan of being restricted. The scariest thing for me in the world is when someone says, "Why don't you write 12 minutes for orchestra and do whatever you want?" That sort of carte blanche makes me very, very anxious, and I start seeing the gigantic expanse of white paper, you know, never filling up with notes. Whereas the minute I have specific information, no matter what it is, even if it's like, you know, this will be performed in Germany in February, you just start honing in on what's going on. So specifically in this case, I mean, I knew it was a piece that was going to belong to a tradition of sort of not site-specific music, but music about a place. Like Dumbarton Oaks by Stravinsky is a great example of a similar thing. And I just started thinking about that, and then from there, I made a scheme about what I was going to focus in, and you know, because again, this is a sort of old-fashioned sort of commission. It's you know, someone commissioning a piece of music about a home. I sent my little scheme to Lee Ellman, who seemed very excited about it, and then I went away and did this. it's restricted, but only in the best possible way.
The Aston Magna Music Festival will perform a program of Italian trio sonatas and the new work Aston Magna by Nico Muhly tonight at Brandeis University, tomorrow night at Bard College, and Saturday evening at Bard College at Simon's Rock. For more information, visit astonmagna.com, astonmagna.com, astonmagna.com. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.